One of the tragedies in biblical studies was that the Germans were leading it, and yet some of them were anti-Semites. And so they couldn't allow that this Old Testament was telling us how to live. They studied it, my goodness. They wrote all the grammars and dictionaries, I mean, in Hebrew and so forth. But I think I was blessed. It was long before I heard of those methods. I was just about 20, 21, living in the monastery, and every day I read the scriptures. And what I learned from the scriptures, from texts like the one we have today, is how to be human. You know, God says to Samuel, go anoint him. He doesn't say, yes, sir. He says, he'll kill me. In other words, he has a relationship with God. And God said, no, just take along a heifer and say you're going for a sacrifice. Now, did God tell him to lie? No, he's going for a sacrifice. But God is teaching him, see? Of course, Semites don't usually need a lot of instruction on diplomacy. But he gets it. And then the rest of the story goes on. You know, one after the other, the sons come up. This is so typical, isn't it? It's the eighth one, actually, coming up. And he's ruddy, looks like a good athlete, he's a good fella. And the Lord says, that's the one. Now notice how obedient Samuel is. Huh? The Lord told him to go, he went. He said he's going to kill me. He said take along a heifer. He took along a heifer. Had a sacrifice. And then the first one comes out and he says, man, that's the one, huh? And he said, no, that's not the one. Then he gives us a principle that literally in the text, man sees the face, God sees the heart. Now that's very important. Because we are who we are in our heart. And the deep decisions we make every day, our heart is that reality about us, the place of all decisions, all secrets, all. But it's also the place where we have a direct relationship to God. We just had it today, didn't we? Open the eyes of our heart. Was that today? No, it was yesterday. Anyway. Our heart, in that sense, has eyes. And we go around with them closed, instead of looking at God and saying, what do you want? And we stay away because we're attached to our sin. Oh, God and I are good friends. Yeah. Well, why don't you go ask him? He's going to say, of course we're good friends. I love you. But what about this and this? What I'm saying is, you see, the enormity of the Jewish heritage that comes to us in the scriptures. Fellow wrote a lovely man, Marcus Borkmeyer, wrote a book on the amount of moral teaching in the early Christian church that came from the Jewish tradition. They had 1,000 years of instruction by God through prophets and through others. And so you see what happens. He comes in, the Lord says, here it says, there. And they're saying, up, get up, that's the one. God knew which one he wanted. Now, let's go back, not too far back. People asked for a king, right? And Samuel told him what he's going to do. That passage in my mind is unforgettable because it was on an exam I had once. To translate, and if you remember the perfume makers, and I mean all these one-time come words in the Bible, and it was our exam. Oh, I think we all passed, but it was. So every time I hear it, I think of, oh my Lord, look what he gave us. But he told them all the things that they were going to, you know, put up with if they had a king. Any meddling government does the same thing, and. So they said, we want it anyway. God said, let him have a king. And he picked one out for Samuel, remember? Now, but he wasn't one according to his heart. And poor old Saul, he couldn't last. See, to be a king in Israel, or to have responsibility anywhere, you got to be flat on your face, depending on God. And Saul didn't do that. And he finished off his own career when he wouldn't offer everything up in sacrifice when he went after the Amalekites, as God had told him to do. And so, but can you see the number of things we can learn if we just think about this text? And obedient. And David made it. Did he sin? Oh my gosh. But he was punished for his sin. You remember the whole incident with Uriah? He got Uriah murdered after having already had adultery with his wife, who sent news, "I'm pregnant." Well, get her husband back home, let her go be home with her for a few days, and then, well, another son, lovely, you know? And the way the Word of God talks to us. So, the scheme to Joab, who's one of these henchmen, will do anything that boss tells him, anything. He says, well, get a group, have them storm the city at the strongest point, then have the others pull back and get Uriah killed. So it happened. So then Joab writes the letter. You know, we were storming the city and da da da, and Uriah was killed. In fact, there were six others killed along with him. Joab also had bright ideas of his own. He didn't say kill seven people. So, now, David writes back a letter. You know, this is all very Semitic. He's not going to really say anything. So he says, well, let not this be evil in your eyes, literally. It isn't that bad, or don't take it too hard, or... And the phrase in Hebrew is, Ra be'enecha, evil in your eyes. And so, the story goes on. And then, it says, and this was evil in God's eyes. So, sometimes, you better go find out from God what he thinks about something. I just thought it would be interesting to reflect. These are all, you know, in the Church of Jerusalem, all these, David, Jeremiah, they're all saints in the calendar. Saint David, Saint Jeremiah. It was that break of the Enlightenment that has divorced us from understanding that there's one Bible, and it's our Bible. And we share the first part of it with the Jews, who look on it very differently than we do, but we can still learn a lot from them. But it's how to be human. Key, obey God. Well then, go find out what he wants. He'll tell you. Obey God. That is the way to peace. And the Lord had these stories written just the way they are, with all that, those stylistic things, and this was evil in God's eyes, and so forth, to teach us. To teach us. And then all of that is taken up to another level when God himself becomes a son of David and lives among us, and in an act of love dies and atones for all the sins of the world. But it's still human. It's divinized humanity now that we have, if we want it. Anyway, I thought you'd be... These stories are so precious. And you just got to ponder them and think, why did he tell him, go anoint Saul when he knew he was going to anoint David? Why? You go to the Lord and ask him. This is a conundrum. Anyway...